Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody. This is January 11th, 2021. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief for NowTheEndBegins.com. And today we have a podcast for you that's going to rip the paint off the walls. The whole world watched in stunned belief as rioters breached the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., with the incredible violence that followed, supposedly, at the hands of MAGA Trump supporters. But upon closer examination, and as more information has come to light, we see not just a deception taking place that day, but a deception wrapped within a deception for the sole purpose of carrying out a pre-planned agenda. Now, this is not speculation. This is not my opinion. This is what happened. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are peeling back the layers of intrigue and mystery that are wrapped around the events of January 6th to see the truth of what lies beneath, and what is presented there is ugly beyond description. Trump supporters caught up in the confusion and frenzy of the moment, becoming the willing pawns of a larger operation. Now, the question that we're going to be asking today, and the question that we need to answer, was this operation conducted by the Trump administration to invoke the Insurrection Act and to bring Democrats to trial for knowingly certifying a false election, or was this the deep state taking down Trump as they have been trying to do ever since he was elected in 2016? If you think you know the answer, you probably don't. Because what happened on January 6th may just be the greatest false flag white hat operation since the deep state brought down the World Trade Center in 2001. That's right, I said since the deep state brought down the World Trade Center in 2001. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at the facts on both sides. We are examining what is being whispered in the corridors of Washington at this very moment to see if the Lord will lead us to an honest assessment of exactly what took place on January 6th. The next 9 days will be the most important and the most pivotal time in the history of the United States of America, and things are never going to go back to the way that they were. For better or for much worse, we get a new America from this moment forward. Are you ready for what comes next? Heavenly Father, we come before you as your bride, as the body of Christ. We come before you, Lord, thousands and thousands of NTEBers listening right now all over the world, not just in America, but all over the world. And we come to you, God, as a church family, and Lord, we're a needy people today. We ask you, God, to lead us and guide us in these moments, and as we have done for the last 12 years, Lord, every program that we do, the Bible studies, the house church services, the podcasts, everything that we do, Lord, we never do a show without asking you, God, to bless us and lead us and guide us into all truth. It doesn't matter what that truth is. We want to know the truth from your word. We want to know the truth from you, Father God. And whatever it is, we're willing to accept it. We're willing to take it. It's not about us. It's not about politics. It's not about Democrats versus Republicans. It's not about Trump versus Pelosi. It's not about the deep state and the swamp versus America. Lord, we are your people, not your chosen people. We are your adopted children. And Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, that leads us, as your word says in John 16 and 17, that you lead us, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth. And Lord, that's what we come looking for today. We come looking for truth. And we ask you, God, to reveal to us the truth of what happened. And we commit this time for you, and we rejoice with the people who are getting saved through these broadcasts. We rejoice with the Christians who are getting back on fire. We praise you, God, for the dozens and dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of people who are ordering the King James Bibles that we are sending out free of charge. And it's a blessing, God. It's a blessing. I ask you, Lord, to meet with us today. If nobody wants you, God, we want you. If nobody wants your dusty old King James Bible, we want your book. And Lord, we ask you to bless us, give us provision, protection, give us peace in our hearts, in our souls, in our bodies, in our minds, and if not in our country, give us peace wherever we go. And we commit this time to you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, everybody. Today, I have so much going through my mind right now that much of this program is just going to be a dump of information that has come across my desk in the last 72 hours. Some of it I have time to sort out, and I've had time to think about and pray about. And I think I know the direction that this program needs to go. But believe me when I tell you, and this is what you have to begin to wrap your head around, things are happening so fast right now, and things are changing to a very, very high degree. This week is going to be a week, and this part I am 100% positive of. What is happening now, what is taking place starting today, January 11th, and all the way up to January 19th, you'll notice that I did not say the 20th. Between today and January 19th, events are going to take place, and you're going to see them, that is going to radically and drastically change America, and the country that we're going to have on January 20th is not the country that any of us have been raised in. And it's certainly not the country that my dad enlisted into World War II to be part of the operation that helped to protect this nation and the world and to bring down Nazi Germany. This nation, after January 19th, it is not going to be what it was. It's not even going to be what it was when Now the End Begins started back in 2009. So the first thing that you need to wrap your head around, and Bruce Bridges just said it, before nations go to war, they recall their ambassadors to one another. We are God's ambassadors. He is removing us. He is preparing us to go to war against the world. God is preparing us. We are soldiers. Paul says that we may please him who has chosen us to be soldiers. Soldiers exist within an army, but we are not called to the battlefield of rabble-rousers and broken windows and people who are shot and stabbed and all the violence that we have seen, the violence that we saw on January 6th in the Capitol, the violence that we saw for 6 months with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and the over $2 billion worth of damage. Insurance companies said months ago that the protests, what the mainstream media called peaceful protests, they have said that as of June, over $2 billion of damage was incurred, making the riots of 2020 the most costly, from an insurance company perspective, the most costly riots in American history. Over $2 billion worth of damage. And there has never been a time in the history of America where protests and riots have incurred more financial damage and carnage than the riots from Antifa and Black Lives Matter during that six-month period last year, in addition to the $2 billion in damages. Now, it's up to almost $3 billion by now, because that article that we brought to you was about 4 months ago, September 17th of 2020. We told you about the $2 billion worth of damage, and I'm posting that article here in the chat room. If you're listening to this program live, and you say to yourself, where is that chat room I went to your site and I can't find it. Just go to ntebradio.com and that will bring you exactly to the chat room. If you're listening live and you want to be part of this chat room where there are currently hundreds of people peacefully and respectfully chatting right now, just go to ntebradio.com and that will bring you right to the chat room. And we highly suggest and urge you to make a permanent profile, because soon we're going to remove guest chatting. So you need to make your own personal profile. But that's a story for another day. So back on September 17th of 2020, we told you that $2 billion worth of damage, and that number is up to almost $3 billion worth of damage right now. And the Democrats called that peaceful protest. The Democrats said that there was nothing wrong with those riots. The woman who, by all markers, is fully convinced that she's going to be the vice president in 9 days from today, Kamala Harris. This is what she said about those riots, where two people were raped, 12 people were murdered, including one of the very first people to die, a man by the name of David Dorn, who was a 65-year-old retired black police officer in St. Louis. And David Dorn was one of the very first people to be murdered by Black Lives Matter. And this is what Vice President-elect Kamala Harris said about the riots that killed and murdered Black police officer David Dorn. Take a listen. It's quite disgusting.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not, and we should not.
Back on June 3rd of 2020, we told you about David Dorn, and he was a 65-year-old police officer. He was a black man, and he had volunteered to help defend his friend's business in St. Louis, Missouri. And seven looters broke into the store that night. Seven people who were part of the Black Lives Matter protest, the peaceful protest. And these seven young men broke into this store where David Dorn, the black police officer, was. And you would think that the seven black guys would see David Dorn, and he was a black guy, and maybe they had an ideological disagreement. But you would think that those seven black members of Black Lives Matter would have left the store peacefully, because Kamala Harris said that it's a peaceful protest. Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, every single Democrat in Washington, every single member of the fake news media, CNN, NPR, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, wherever you went, everybody said it was a peaceful protest. So you would think that when seven members of a group that is peacefully protesting, who happen to be black, who happen to be members of a group called Black Lives Matter, go into a business where a black man is sitting to defend his friend's business, you wouldn't think, would you, that those seven black guys from Black Lives Matter would kill the black guy who was sitting there in the store trying to keep things under control. But that's exactly what happened. They shot David Dorn in the torso multiple times. David Dorn fell to the ground. They laughed. They kicked him. As this black man lay bleeding in St. Louis, Missouri, at the beginning of the riots, seven black members of Black Lives Matter murdered him in cold blood. The video camera recorded as these men exited the shop where they had just murdered David Dorn. You could see they were jubilant. They were fist pumping. Their pockets were filled with loot, and they were laughing, and they were smiling. That is the truth of what happened in St. Louis, Missouri, back on June 5th of 2020. This is what Black Lives Matter did to a black man during what every single member, Democrat member of the Senate, the Congress, the mainstream media, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you go, this is what they said was a peaceful protest. And then Kamala Harris told you, warned you, threatened you that these riots are not going to end. Angel is asking, and have they come to any jail time? No. Here is where it gets really disgusting, and here is where it gets really bad. Hollywood, back in the beginning of the summer, Hollywood created a legal defense fund so that as these people got arrested, they would be immediately let out on bail. Now, you say to yourself, where would these people get the money from? Well, back on June 1st, just mere days before David Dorn would be murdered by Black Lives Matter militants, Hollywood, the Hollywood elites who support Antifa and who support Black Lives Matter, they began to give. At first, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then that money escalated into the millions of dollars. And we told you back on June 1st of 2020, millionaire elites like Steve Carell and Joe Biden contributing to fund that is bailing out ultra-violent Antifa and Black Lives Matter anarchists from jail for assault. As the death of George Floyd brings national attention to Minneapolis, protests have progressed from demonstrations to a police precinct that was set afire and damaged to private properties and businesses, resulting in multiple arrests. So what did they do? They created this fund called the Minnesota Freedom Fund. And this is what they say, and I'm quoting from an article from the liberal publication called The Hill. The Minnesota Freedom Fund, a nonprofit organization that facilitates cash bail donations, has launched a resource page to fundraise bail for the Minneapolis protesters who have been arrested. The page has been widely circulated on social media and has garnered dozens of donations around the $50 mark. Isn't that quaint and isn't that sweet? This liberal publication called The Hill wants you to know that, quote, dozens of people have raised funds that average around $50 apiece. And that is a complete and total lie. People like Ben Schwartz, Steve Carell, Hollywood bigwigs, they started donating hundreds of thousands of dollars apiece. And in very short order, the Minnesota Freedom Fund had millions of dollars. And the Minnesota Freedom Fund was used around the country in every major Democrat city to fund the release from prison of everybody who was arrested. Why do you think these people seem to be unstoppable? Why do you think everybody appeared to be powerless? One thing that the riots taught me that I really wasn't aware of. Look at any major city. Look at New York City. Look at Chicago. Look at Seattle. Look at Portland. Look at Philadelphia. Look at any major city in America. And look at the police force. I did not know that the city mayor has the power to tell the police to stand down. Did you know that? That is something that I was not fully made aware of until the riots of 2020. And I started saying to myself, this is insane. How can this be possible? Why are all these police forces standing down to what is obvious burning, looting, and murdering in major Democrat-controlled cities? And I was scratching my head and scratching my head until I found the website that told me that the way that our country is set up, the mayors of these cities have the power to tell the police to either go into the fight or to stand down from the fight. And I did not, when I heard that, it's like I almost couldn't even believe it. And you think that these mayors, right? Why do you think that when these Democrats leave office, like when Obama's term was over, and you had people like Rahm Emanuel, and what did he wanted to immediately become the mayor of Chicago. And I thought to myself, somebody who was so connected with the Clintons and somebody who was so connected with the Obamas and that whole Democratic machine, and who had spent time at the White House and had really operated at a very, very high level, why would that guy want to become a mayor of anything? And at the time, I thought, wow, that's really, he wants to go from operating within the halls of power in Washington, and now he wants to become the mayor of Chicago? But now I understand why. Because big city mayors control the police. And what did we see all summer long last year? We saw riot after riot after riot, and we saw the police being told to stand down and let the riots continue. In multiple cities across America, we saw Black Lives Matter taking control of the police precincts and smashing the windows and setting them on fire. And the police virtually ran away. Now, they didn't run away because they were afraid. The police didn't retreat because Black Lives Matter or Antifa was a superior force. They retreated because they were ordered to retreat by the mayor. And that's why they did what they did. Is it starting to make sense now? Are you starting to see why and how power is set up in America? And this is why people leave Washington and they want to become a mayor of a major city. Because when all this stuff starts going down, they're in place and they control the police. Look at New York City with de Blasio. The police absolutely hate him. When he, the last time that he spoke before a large contingent of police officers, every single one of those cops stood up and turned their back to Mayor de Blasio because they are so disgusted by how he operates New York City. And at the height of the riots last year, de Blasio ordered a cut to the police department by over $1 billion with a B dollars. And the New York City police, they can't stand Bill de Blasio. They don't like him at all. But they are under the authority of whoever happens to be the mayor. And what has happened since de Blasio called for the police to be defunded? You see an unbelievable rise in crime. Junkies are openly shooting up on the street corners. And New York City, which has always been a very sketchy place. I went to college in New York City. I attended a school called the Fashion Institute of Technology. My older brother worked in a health club up on the Upper West Side. I spent lots of time in New York City. It's always been a sketchy place. It has always been a place that has a disproportionate amount of crime because there's so many people packed into such a small area. But it is rarely been as out of control as it is now under Mayor de Blasio. And the New York City police can't stand him. Now, if you look at this graphic that I'm putting into the chat room, and this is, and I've told you this before, but I want to remind you, this was the very first graphic that I ever made for Now the End Begins before one word was ever written. This used to be when our website used to be a blog, a tiny little blog. This was the banner that I made for that blog back in 2009. And you can see what the Lord had put on my heart, talking about change coming to America and Obama and the New World Order and the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Building and the conspiracy of the World Trade Center coming down and the American Eagle flying down into the flames. But I want you to pay attention to the lower left-hand corner of that graphic where I wrote, "The Coming Betrayal of America. For generations, the Bible has warned of the coming end of days, and you are now living in that time. America, a nation raised up by the hand of God to spread the gospel and to be a beacon of freedom for people around the world, is about to be forever silenced by those who are sworn to protect her, her leaders." And back in 2009, America was celebrating the election of the first black president that we ever had. And I think the fact that America finally elected a black man as president was a great thing. I think it's fantastic that we elected a black man as president of the United States. I'm all for that. I'm all for a woman president. It all depends, however, what woman do you have in mind? Do you want to elect Esther? Do you want to elect Ruth? Or do you want to elect Jezebel? And as far as having a black president goes, and I think that's a fantastic idea. But which black man did you elect president? Did you elect a black president like Alan West, who is a military man, who is a rock-solid patriot, who loves this country? Or did you elect a black man that's more of the Manchurian candidate from that movie in the 1960s about a puppet operative that's put in place to accomplish a secret agenda by the deep state? If you've never watched that movie called The Manchurian Candidate, you should watch it. It's very, very, very interesting. So back in 2009, the Lord put on my heart to write about the coming betrayal of America. And a lot of people were confused on why I would focus on that, because they didn't see America being betrayed. But here we are 12 years later, and everything that we talked about is coming true. It's already happened. We're seeing it play out before our very eyes. The entire world is stunned by the events of January 6th. Now, everybody says that Donald Trump, he needs to be arrested and he needs to be court-martialed. He needs to be put in prison. He needs to be impeached. He needs, there is no end to the bad things that need to happen to Donald Trump. And in fact, the Democrats have been saying this long before January 6th. I want to play this clip. It's only 59 seconds long. And in this clip, you're going to hear Nancy Pelosi, Ariana Presley. You're going to hear some of the big name Democrats who have been calling for the removal of Donald Trump since January 6th and talking about what an evil, violent man that Donald Trump is and how he incited violence on January 6th. I want you to listen to this supercut of Democrats calling for the death and destruction of Donald Trump. And these clips, some of these clips, are more than a year ago. This is what the Democrats have been calling for in terms of violent actions against the sitting president of the United States. Take a listen.
I don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
Why? Yes. He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
And there's just a quick supercut for you of things that Democrats have been saying over the past 4 years. They are talking about mobs running wild in the streets. They're talking about people attacking President Donald Trump, a sitting American president. And the clip ends with a talking head on CNN telling you that it was time to go put a bullet in the president. This is what the Democrats have been saying for the last 4 years. And now they are shocked and appalled. They are decrying the violence of January 6th. And you just heard from their own mouth, in their own words, nothing was changed. That is what the Democrats have been wanting and asking for the last 4 years. Now, you heard that clip from Chris Cuomo, who is the brother of Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, and Chris Cuomo is a talking head on CNN. And you heard him say, who says that protests have to be peaceful? Well, the First Amendment to the Constitution says that. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The United States Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution and its various the Bill of Rights and the amendments, everywhere that you look, it specifically calls for protest to be peaceful. And if protest is not peaceful, then it is not lawful. So, what happened on January 6th? Did Trump supporters really do everything that they said that they did? Well, at the start of this program, I told you I was going to tell you the truth. I'm not here to defend anybody. I'm here to defend and to present the truth in as much as the Lord allows me to find it and see it and write about it and talk about it. Did Trump supporters get caught up in the events on January 6th? They absolutely did. There's no question about it. Trump supporters did, some of them, and it's a very, very small amount of them. But did Trump supporters get caught up in the violence and the threats? They did. But they had a little bit of help. They had a little bit of help. And one of the people that they had help from was a man by the name of John Earl Sullivan, who was photographed inside the Capitol. And his picture and that video has been all over the media, and the media immediately debunked his participation. John Earl Sullivan is a man who is he is part of a left-wing radical insurgency operation. And I'm going to play for you right now a clip from John Earl Sullivan, the man who is caught on video as being at the epicenter of the violence in the Capitol on January 6th. And this is what he said just a couple of months before the events of January 6th took place. Take a listen to John Earl Sullivan rallying his troops and talking about burning down Washington and taking Trump out by force. John Earl Sullivan, take a listen.
What's going on, everybody? My name's John Sullivan. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. My group is Insurgents USA. We fucking about to burn this shit down. Fuck this shit. Who, anybody out here seeing that white militia guy shoot three kids? Yeah. Fuck that guy. And I will tell you, this shit is in Utah. A whole bunch of white militia came out there, formed against our group. We out there strapped. We out there ready to burn that shit down. We out there to defend our fucking selves. We gotta defend ourselves now too. We do. Because power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Damn right. We gotta fucking rip Trump out of that office right over there. Fucking pull him out that shit. Nah, we ain't about fucking waiting till the next election. We about to go get that motherfucker. I ain't about that shit. Because you know what time it is? I want y'all to be after me. It's time for a revolution. It's time for a revolution. It's time for a revolution. Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all. Be safe. Be blessed.
Yeah, he wants you to be blessed after calling for the ouster of Donald Trump by physical force. And I apologize. I didn't edit out his bad words, his profanity. But the reason why I didn't edit it out is I wanted you to hear for yourself the level of anger and the level of absolute mob violence that he represents. And this man, I just put pictures in the chat room, and even ABC News filmed him as being right in the middle where all the action was taking place. He is not the guy who was wearing the horns. That guy was Jake Agnelli, and he is some sort of QAnon bigwig or something. And we told you, last year, we told you don't trust Q. I wrote about it. Let me see if I can find the article real quick. I warned you last year, do not be fooled by Q. And I told you that on April 3rd of 2020. And I told you that QAnon was a psyop, and they were absolutely duplicitous, and they were deceiving Trump supporters. And that's exactly what they did. They led you to a place that was not good, and they led you to believe things that are not true. And I tried to warn people, do not get involved with Q. They're a bunch of liars. They're a bunch of deceivers. And Estevic just says, Q is a psyop. Absolutely right. And they asked you to trust the plan and stand back and do nothing. And, oh, look, Trump wore a yellow tie today. And, oh, look, he's drinking, you know, he's holding that bottle of water very strangely. And that's a signal to the troops. None of that was true. And I made people mad when I said that QAnon, it was a deception. And I told you that last year. And it was, and it is true. And Q, where is Q now? Anybody hearing from Q these days? No, you won't. Because they accomplished the purpose that they were created for. If you want my opinion, I told you I'd give you just facts and truth today. But let me give you my opinion for a moment. I believe that QAnon was set up by the CIA to identify and keep track of Trump supporters. And I believe that the whole Q system was a psyop intended to deceive. And if you are offended by that, then you just need to be offended. Because Q was never real. They were never Trump supporters. The whole thing was a deception the entire time. And that leads us to January 6th. Now, I just played for you that clip from John Sullivan. And he is as far right, left, he is as far left a radical as you could ever possibly imagine. What was he doing there on January 6th? I'll tell you what he was doing there. He was inciting Trump supporters to do the work for them. Now, I have videos in my possession right now. I have been sent videos over the last 3 days that shows when Antifa puts their black clothing on, it's called Black Block. B-L, hold on a second here. B-L-A-C, B-L-O-C? Yes, that's it. Black Block is a tactic used by protesters who wear black clothing, ski masks, scarves, sunglasses, motorcycle helmets with padding, or other face-concealing or face-protecting items. And if you've been following Antifa over the last number of years, and we've been telling you all about Antifa, when I look at these videos, I see dozens and dozens of Antifa people wearing the Black Bloc clothing, and they're mixed in there with Trump supporters. Now, did the Trump supporters get over emotional on January 6th? They absolutely did. Did they fall for what Antifa was doing and what Black Lives Matter was doing and people like John Sullivan who were embedded inside of the Capitol building with them? Did they fall for it? Absolutely. There's no question about it. And that's a sad thing. And the responsibility is on every single person who contributed to the violence in the Capitol that day. Those people broke the law, and we would be nothing but massive hypocrites if we said, well, it's okay that Trump supporters got caught up in that. It's not okay. It is never, that was an insurrection. And as far as that goes, when the Democrats call what happened an insurrection, that's exactly what it was. But they only tell you half the story. Trump supporters were led to a wrong conclusion and to commit wrong actions. Now, they willingly did it. They got caught up in the heat of the moment. And if you have ever been around an angry mob, and I have been around angry mobs, and you see very quickly that there is a mob mentality, and it can cross over and it can infect both sides at the same time. And what happened on January 6th was mob mentality. And sadly, Trump supporters got caught up in that. And everybody who was responsible needs to pay for that. Because that is wrong. The Southern Poverty Law Center back in 2016, they labeled Now the End Begins as an anti-government group. We are not an anti-government group. We never have been. We have never called for violence. We have never called for riots in the streets. We have spoken out against those things. And what is our official position on January 6th? Everybody who participated in the riots, they need to be brought to court. They need to face a judge and a jury of their peers. And they need to present their case. And it needs to be dealt with legally. And if you're a diehard Trump supporter, now I voted for him twice. I'm a Trump supporter. Don't try and tell me that I'm not. But I am for law and order. And what happened on January 6th was wrong. It was a crime. But what the Democrats want to do is they want to only bring to justice the Trump supporters. They have no intention of bringing to justice Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who were embedded in that group. Now, I just posted a picture for you of the Capitol building that day, and you see a couple of hundred Trump supporters. But if you look closely in that photo, you will also see lots of people wearing that Black Bloc clothing, a lot of people with their faces covered. And you can see clearly that embedded with the Trump supporters at the Capitol building are the black bloc clothing wearing members of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. John Sullivan, who is part of the far left insurgent group, he was there. That has been chronicled by liberal news outlets. There is no doubt of any kind that John Sullivan was right in the heart of everything that was happening. But here is where it gets a little tricky and where you have to really begin to pay attention. What the mainstream media is trying to do now, they are trying to make you believe that it was only Trump supporters and this narrative that Antifa was not there and the Justice Department looked at it and they found no evidence. I have video of John Sullivan walking through the Capitol after the doors had been breached. I have video in my possession right now of the police on the inside of the building willingly opening the doors and letting them in peacefully. I have video of four different vans pulling up behind the Capitol and Antifa getting out of those vans, and it looks like those vans were driven by the Secret Service. I am still digesting exactly what took place in those videos, but I have them in my possession right now. And let me tell you, the events of January 6th was a deception wrapped inside a deception. I entitled the graphic for today's program, I called it Operation Overthrow. And if you're a student of history, you know exactly what Operation Overthrow is. Operation Overthrow was what the Allies referred to as the D-Day invasion. And it was a intentional deception because they knew that that the Germans were still very, very powerful. And Operation Overthrow was an Allied deception plan designed to persuade the Germans that the Allies were planning to launch amphibious landings against Calais and Boulogne in German-occupied northeastern France, designed to deter the Germans from reinforcing their forces on the Eastern Front or in the Mediterranean in the period immediately before the launch. The operation, it had various names, but it was called Operation Overthrow, and it was based on the story, the made-up story, that the Allies were planning to launch an operation to seize a beachhead in northern France. So I've entitled today's program Operation Overthrow because it is what happened on January 6th was an intentional deception. Now, many of you have asked me, what about Donald Trump signing the Insurrection Act on Saturday night? People from all over the country have been contacting me. What about the Insurrection Act? Did President Trump sign the Insurrection Act? Well, would you believe me if I told you that I have a source who is connected to the White House, who has contacts on the inside? I won't say their name and I won't say how they have that connection, but believe me when I tell you I have legitimate sources inside the Trump White House, and I want to read for you what that source told me. I am not telling you that I believe everything I am about to read to you, okay? I am going to read what I was told, and then we're going to talk about it. Now, let me just pull it up. So, again, I am not saying to you that I believe everything that I am about to read to you. I am just simply saying that this is what was sent to me over the weekend, purporting to be what is happening within the Trump administration right now. Here it is. Let me find the section. It says, Here it is. At midnight last night, that would have been Saturday night, and early today, the Insurrection Act was passed, and this time, it's not a drill. They say starting tonight in Quebec, Canada, there is a curfew and the borders are being closed. The borders are closed between the United States and Canada. I was able to verify that. And those borders are not going to reopen until January 21st. So, are the Canadian borders closed right now? The answer is yes, they are. That I have verified. And they say that those borders will reopen on January 21st. They claim it has something to do with COVID, but the fact remains that the borders are closed. At least they were yesterday when I researched it. Here's another point. The emergency broadcast could be the last resort before Trump uses Newsmax first. And that's why he keeps telling us Newsmax, 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 and why he's unable to use the White House press, because the last time he got on, it was scripted. So these people on the inside are saying that there is some sort of a big report that is going to be coming out via Newsmax. I guess we'll just have to wait to see if that actually happens. Says here, a lot has changed within the last 12 hours with martial law in the broadcast system. So my sources tell me expect something big to happen between Wednesday, that's the day after tomorrow, and January the 19th. All right. These same sources tell me that Hunter Biden is in Gitmo right now. Again, I don't know if that's true. This is what my sources are telling me. The blackouts that we saw over the weekend in Germany and Pakistan and the Vatican, they all have to do with something between China and General Electric and something having to do with the power grid. And so my source tells me that that the Insurrection Act was passed over the weekend. Now, let me tell you the problem that I have with that. Here's the problem that I have with that. The Insurrection Act was passed by Congress in 1807, and they created the act to allow the president to use U.S. armed troops and federalized National Guard troops inside its own borders. Now, some of you may be familiar with something called the Posse Comitatus Act. And the Posse Comitatus Act prevents U.S. troops from searching and seizing property, from dispersing crowds. It was passed in 1878, and it prevents U.S. military troops from enforcing domestic law. So, in order for the Insurrection Act to have been signed, it has to bypass the Posse Comitatus Act. Now, has the Insurrection Act been used before? Yes. It was used mostly during the violence and the protest of the civil rights era in the 1950s and the 1960s. But since that time period, the Insurrection Act has been rarely used. The last time that the Insurrection Act was used in 1992 to suppress the riots after four Los Angeles police officers arrested Rodney King and beat him. And then you may remember that downtown Los Angeles, it erupted into unbelievable violence, and a truck driver by the name of, what was his name? If you think of it in the chat room, post it. But there was a truck driver who was pulled out of his truck And what was his? It's going to bother me now. There was a truck driver that was pulled out of his truck, and Reginald Denny was his name. That's it, Reginald Denny. And they pulled him. The rioters pulled him out of his truck, and they beat him into a coma. And Reginald Denny didn't have anything to do with the riots. He didn't have anything to do with the police. He didn't have anything to do with Rodney King. He was simply a white truck driver who made a wrong turn and found himself in the middle of these riots in South Central Los Angeles in 1992. And so they pulled him out of the truck and they beat him within an inch of his life. And they put him into a coma for a short period of time. That's the last time that the Insurrection Act was actually used in the United States. Now, one of the provisions of the Insurrection Act, Trump absolutely has power to use the act, but a president cannot invoke the Insurrection Act secretly or ambiguously. Before the Insurrection Act can be used, the people that it's going to be used on have to be given a warning, and they have to be told to disperse and retire to their abodes within a limited time, giving the people the opportunity to retreat. So, is it possible that President Trump on Saturday signed a bill authorizing the Insurrection Act? I don't see how that could be possible. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. My sources inside the Trump administration, and I'm not making that up. That's actually legit, and you can believe it or not believe it, but there is no way that I would say that if it wasn't true, and it is true, but this is where I differ with my source. My source is telling me, guaranteed, that we will have four more years of Donald Trump. My source has told me, guaranteed, that the Insurrection Act was signed by Donald Trump at midnight on Saturday night. I didn't call my source a liar. I didn't say that what you're telling me is not the truth. I just simply asked for some sort of a verification, something that they could point to, that I could look at and say, oh, okay, I see how you're going now. And my source told me, for reasons of national security, that no further information could be given other than what was given. So, all I'm doing by telling you this, I'm not trying to get you all excited. I'm not trying to whip you up into a frenzy. I am simply telling you what my source told me as of last night and as of first thing this morning. My source told me, they guaranteed me, that Donald Trump is going to execute actions over the next couple of days, which is going to bring Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and all the Democrats to trial, to court, and they will be found guilty of certifying a knowingly fraudulent election. Now, am I saying that I believe that? No, I am not saying that. Don't tell people that I said that, because I am not saying that. I am reporting to you what was told to me via my source within the Trump administration. They are not just confident. They are supremely confident that they will emerge victorious over the next 8 days. One of the reasons why I struggle with that is everywhere that I look, I see a powerful, combined, conspiratorial effort, not by the Trump administration, but by the Democrats. And right now, the Democrats are surging in power. Now, as it was explained to me, they told me that that's exactly how they want the Democrats to think. And that's why I call this Operation Overthrow. Because in World War II, They desperately wanted and needed the German military to believe that an attack was going to happen in a place where there was no plans to make that attack happen. And the German, I've watched so many hours of World War II footage and newsreels and videos and historical commentary. The Germans were allowed to think that what they were being told, the false information that they were being fed through the back channels, they were allowed to think that that was absolutely true when the exact opposite was true. And the Allies had a complete and total blackout, and they did not allow the truth to come out until after the launch of the storming of the beach in Normandy on D-Day. So, could it be possible that the Trump administration wants the Democrats to be overly confident? Is it possible that this was the plan all along? Well, it's possible. It absolutely is possible. At this point, since nobody knows exactly what's going on, and the people who are attending these closed-door meetings, like my source, they have only released so much. And I was told this morning that if they were to release more information that I was asking for, it would jeopardize the operation. Now, here's how I look at all of this. I can make it, and this is one of my favorite expressions. My main expression that I love to use, and people make fun of me, I love to say, okay, I said all that to say this. But my second favorite expression that I've been using for decades, I love to say I can make a case for both sides. And when I say that, what I'm saying is I see that this thing could go either way because there's markers to make the point on either side. I could spend the next 15 minutes telling you why I absolutely agree with my source and why everything that they told me I believe to be true, and I could make a very convincing argument over the next 15 minutes in favor of the incredible things that my source has told me. But it is equally true, based on the information in my possession, audio, video, and messaging, it is also equally true that I could make a case against it. And this is where we find ourselves. This is the dilemma that is before us at 1:06 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 11th of 2021. Now, when we survey the landscape, what do we see? You might be shocked or not shocked to find out that this morning, Antifa began to march in New York City. They have already begun assaulting journalists, and they have already threatened incredible violence, and that is happening right now in New York City. Antifa is marching through the streets of downtown Manhattan right now. And there are calls, there are plans for Antifa and Black Lives Matter to spring up over the next couple of weeks in every major city. That's happening right now. And I was a little bit shocked when I saw that. They're certainly picking a funny time to do that. You would think that they would lay low. But this is part of the problem with people who are part of conspiracies, is they get a little bit of they get greedy, and they get a little bit overconfident. They get a little bit cocky. And, so this is what we see happening right now. And let me just pull up the Twitter account of a man by the name of Andy No. And he says this: a militia of Antifa black bloc wearing, people carrying shields are marching through Manhattan. He said this happened actually yesterday, to claim ownership of the public space. He says that there are similar gatherings elsewhere, some of which have been violent and all of which have taken place since Trump was banned on Twitter. And I'm going to put a link into the chat room and you can check out this video when you have time. It's a video from Twitter, but there's hundreds. There might even be a couple of thousand of Antifa members who are marching through the city starting yesterday. So this is what Antifa's doing. And that's happening right now. Estevic said that they want to turn New York City into the CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. And that's exactly right. And it looks like they're going to do it. Don't forget that Kamala Harris, she's a big fan of the riots. She wants the riots to continue.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Now, that's Vice President-elect Kamala Harris back in June of 2020 on the Stephen Colbert Show. And she sounded very confident, didn't she? She sounded very confident that what she was saying was going to come to pass. And it almost looks like she was speaking prophetically, because here we are just mere days, 4 days, 5 days after the horrific events that took place in the Capitol, and these riots that she said were not going to stop, they've started again. So it looks like Kamala Harris told you the truth when she told you that we were going to have endless riots across the major cities of America. I just posted a picture in the chat room, Antifa, and you can see what I mean by that black block that they wear. Black sunglasses, black face masks, black clothing, black hats. Has nothing to do with skin color. Almost all of the Antifa members are white people. But black block refers to the black fascist outfit of Antifa. Antifa was created in 1933 in Nazi Germany. And it was revived here in America during the Obama years. Does anybody else find it interesting that while Barack Obama was president, ISIS was created, Black Lives Matter was created, Antifa was resurrected from 1933 Nazi Germany, and the very first chapters of Antifa in America happened during the Obama years. Occupy Wall Street happened during the Obama years. Why do you think it is? And I want you to ask yourself this question seriously. America had the election of the very first black president that we ever had. He was a Democrat. He was a liberal. Why would that be the time period for ISIS to be created? For Black Lives Matter to be created, for Antifa to be resurrected from 1933 Nazi Germany, that flag that they fly, that Antifa flag, where it says "Anti-Fascist Deutschland," that is taken directly from 1933 Nazi Germany, and it even uses the official colors of Nazi Germany, which was black, red, and a light cream color. Now, does anybody else find it amazingly coincidental that all these terrorist organizations came to power during the 8 years that Barack Obama was president? Now, in just my very simplistic thinking, I think to myself, why would these people rise now? If Barack Obama, a hardcore progressive liberal, That should be the time that the rioting would stop, not the time that the rioting would start. And yet the opposite is true. The ushering in of Barack Obama caused the creation of domestic terrorist groups in the United States. Why did they start during the administration of the first black president, who also happened to be a pro-Marxist liberal, whose very first main talk that he ever gave in 2008, called the Cairo speech, where he apologized for America and he said that America was never a Christian nation. And he glorified Islam, the same Islam that was causing unbelievable terror attacks that would lead all the way up to the attack in Benghazi. That same president, why would that spur the creation of domestic terrorist groups in America? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they knew they had the support now. George W. Bush was a crooked president. There's no question about it. I've done a lot of articles on the Bush crime family. Grandfather Prescott Bush, he was Hitler's banker in America. Prescott Bush was the person who funneled funds to Adolf Hitler when Adolf Hitler was rising to power. And when Adolf Hitler became chancellor, and then he became the ruler in 1934 when Kaiser Wilhelm, not Kaiser Wilhelm, Hindenburg died. Prescott Bush was the person who made sure that American money from J.P. Morgan and the Bank of America. Prescott Bush was the person who was responsible in America for making sure that the Nazi regime had the funding that they needed. And because of that, in Nazi Germany, that's where you had all these American Fortune 500 companies supporting Adolf Hitler and supporting the Nazis. Why would they do that? Because they knew that the Nazis were being funded by Wall Street. And the main person who was funding them was none other than Prescott Bush. And then his son, who is working for the CIA, George H.W. Bush. He's on the ground in Dallas in 1963. And what's he doing there? Well, he's making sure that the operation to take down JFK is successful. Am I saying that George H.W. Bush was connected with the assassination of a sitting president of the United States? Absolutely, I am. Do the research for yourself. You'll find it. And then in 1991, on September 11th of 1991, George H.W. Bush, whose father helped to finance the Nazis, who was Hitler's personal banker in America, said this before Congress.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be,
there's the threat.
We have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
There it is. There's the son of Prescott Bush, who was Hitler's banker, the son of the man who helped funnel American money to Nazi Germany. There he is telling you on September 11th, 1991, 10 years to the day before the Twin Towers were brought down under the watch of his son, Marvin Bush. Marvin Bush, we have told you, was on the board of the company that oversaw security for the World Trade Centers. My own brother worked at the World Trade Centers. I was there in 2000, working across the street for a company called Deloitte & Touche. Maybe you've heard of them. They're one of the most successful accounting companies in America. And during the summer of 2000, I had a job, it was a contract job, and I worked for a company called Deloitte & Touche, and I helped them with their web design. I've been making websites and doing graphic design for a long time now. And I will never forget the day back in August of 2000. I think it was August 5th. I started this job in a building called the World Financial Center. And the World Financial Center had about 60 stories, maybe 63 stories, if I remember correctly. And I worked at the very top of the World Financial Center. And the World Financial Center was in the same plaza as the World Trade Center. In fact, they were connected by an underground passageway. Not passageway, but there was a shopping area and you could get to the subways and all sorts of things like that. So shortly after I started my job in the World Financial Center in the end of the summer of 2000, I went to have lunch with my brother across the street, and he worked for a company called Empire Blue Cross. And I forget, I think he was in Tower 2. He might have been on the 83rd floor, maybe the 92nd floor. I can't remember exactly. But I went across the street, and I got into the elevator, and I went up to where he was working, and him and I, we stood inside the server room and we're looking out these amazing windows. And a lot of people don't know that both of the World Trade Towers were on rollers, and they had to be because the building was so big and so tall that it had to be able to move slightly with a lot of wind. So the World Trade Center, actually, if you were up high enough, you would feel the building moving. And we're looking out the window, and this is the end of summertime of 2000. And I turned to my brother, and I said to him, "You have got to get out of this building." I'm not going to say that I had a vision of the towers being brought down or anything like that. I am not going to say that, because I didn't. I just looked out that window, and it looked scary. I didn't like it. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel good. It looked like any nasty thing could happen. And I turned to my brother, and I said to him, "You have got to get out of this job. You've got to leave, and you've got to find work someplace else." And my brother thought about that, and within a few months, he switched jobs. Now, am I saying that he switched jobs because I told him that I didn't think it was safe? No, not at all. But I did tell him that it didn't feel right. And he left. He thought about it. He made up his own mind. He's not a saved man. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as his savior. And I would very much appreciate if you guys could pray, not just for him, but I have three brothers, and I would love to see any one of them, all three of them, get saved. See, I have lost family members just like you do. And I would very much appreciate your prayers for my three brothers. I'm not going to mention their names because they would be very mad if I did. They do not like Now the End Begins. They hate it. They hate it with a passion. They think that the ministry that I do is a terrible thing. But they may hate me, but I don't hate them. I love them. They're my brothers. They're my, you know, we have the same blood. We have the same DNA. But if you guys could pray for my three brothers that they would get saved, I would really appreciate that. I don't want to see them go to hell. I don't want to see anybody in my family go to hell. It makes me cry when I think about it. So I appreciate your prayers for them. But on the day, so I told my brother he had to get out. And a few months later, he left. And a few months after that, and when I say a few months, as I remember it, it was only like 2 or 3 months later, 9/11 happened, and I couldn't remember if my brother still worked there or not. And I can remember the panic on that morning, and I'm furiously dialing my brother's number. Please let him answer. Please let him answer. And he finally answered. And I'm like, dude, where are you? And he's like, don't worry. Remember, I quit that job. So he wasn't there at all. But those elevators were worked on that same summer that I was up there riding in the elevators. That same summer, those elevators were worked on by the security company run by the grandson of the man who funneled American funds to the Nazi regime, Marvin Bush. Now, I want to play this clip for you, and I have said this to you multiple times, and I just never remembered to get the clip. As George Bush was sitting in that classroom that day, and he was being told that an enemy force had just flown a plane into one of the towers of the World Trade Center, George Bush was not told to follow Secret Service protocol. George Bush was not removed by the Secret Service. That protocol was violated. George Bush was allowed to remain in his seat. And as America was under attack, presumably by an outside force, I have since come to understand it was by an inside force. But this was what was being said in the classroom that day, that George Bush, after he had been told, I want you to listen to what the teacher of that sixth grade classroom, she was doing an object lesson, teaching them phonics and teaching them vocabulary. Have you ever heard the five words that were repeated methodically by the teacher instructing the students after George Bush was told that an enemy force had attacked the World Trade Center? Take a listen to this. The five words that were being chanted.
Get ready to get all these words on this page without making a mistake. Look at the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
Kid.
Yes. Sound it out. Get ready.
Kid.
Sound it out. Get ready.
Kid.
What word?
Kid.
Yes, kid. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
Steal.
What word?
Steal.
Yes, steal. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, play. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kit.
Yes, kit. Get ready.
Steal.
Yes, steal. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Go ahead and pick your reader up from under your seat. Open your book up to lesson 60 on page 150.
So there you have the teacher, the sixth grade teacher, who is instructing her students as the exact moment is happening that President George W. Bush is being told that the World Trade Center has just been attacked. The five words that are being chanted in his classroom are kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Don't you dare call me a conspiracy theory person. Don't you dare say that I'm believing outrageous fantasies by the far right and the dark web. I just played for you the clip of what the teacher and the students were saying in the classroom as George W. Bush, President of the United States, had just been told that an enemy force just attacked the World Trade Center, and they were saying in his classroom, kite, hit, steal, plane, must. That's not conspiracy theory. That is factual reality. Now, don't you think that these people who created that 20 years ago Don't you think that they've gotten better at the job that they do? They've gotten a lot better. They started with the assassination of Kennedy. And by the time that they got to the World Trade Center, they were so confident in their abilities that they could do it openly. They didn't have to hide it. And now, January 6th, what was happening? Before I get off the subject of 9/11, and I know I only have about 5 or 6 minutes left, but let me just say that I'm going to put a link into the chat room, and the name of the article is called "Why Didn't the Inferno at the Grenfell Towers Make It Fall Down Just Like Building 7 on 9/11? And I'm going to put this article into the chat room for you guys. And if you're not in the chat room, I want you to go to nowtheendbegins.com and go to our section on 9/11. Just go to news categories, assorted stories, and then scroll down and click on in the nav bar. It's called The Truth of 9/11. And I want you to click on that. And at the bottom of that article, you're going to see a video by a PhD by the name of Dr. Judy Wood. And out of all the explanations for how the towers came down, not why they came down, not who brought them down, but the best explanation that I have ever heard about how the towers were brought down, her name is Dr. Judy Wood, and that video is in the bottom of that article. And it's called 9/11 Energy Technology by Dr. Judy Wood. It's a long video. It's going to take you about 2 hours to listen to it. But when you're done, you will know, and she said this back in 2012, and she has not been disproven in the 9 years since she released her findings. Dr. Judy Wood shows you proof conclusively that the World Trade Centers and Building 7 were brought down by something called a directed energy weapon. Now, she doesn't say who did it. She doesn't say why they did it. She didn't want her findings to be brought into a different arena of discussion, because there's a huge difference between what did they do and why did they do it. But she has the best explanation for how those buildings were brought down and the manner in which they were brought down. If you'll take the 2 hours and watch that video, I guarantee you it will be a mind-blowing revelation for you. And when I watched that video years ago, it completely and totally convinced me that what Dr. Judy Wood discovered is indeed as close to the truth as you're ever going to get. So go to nowtheendbegins.com, find that video in the 9/11 section. But in closing, let me say, the operation on January 6th was a deception within a deception. And Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the far left agitators, were embedded with Trump supporters. Again, I am not absolving Trump supporters from their responsibility. Anybody who broke into the Capitol committed a crime. People died that day. The police officer died. Officer Sicknick, he died. And Ashley, she died. I forget her last name. Ashley Babbitt, I think her name is. People died that day. Serious crimes were committed. And people, on whatever side that you claim to be on, they need to be held responsible. But I am telling you that Antifa and other far-left insurgents were embedded with the Trump supporters, but they were embedded within the United States government by the deep state, and the main mission that they were on was to ransack Pelosi's office and to get laptops and to get hard drives, and to get information. Now, what are they going to do with that information? I have no idea. Remember, at the start of this program, I said that we had to answer a very serious question. And in closing, let me remind you what that question was. The question that we need to answer regarding all of this was, who conducted the operation? Was it an operation that was conducted by the Trump administration that got out of hand? Or was this an operation from the deep state using the Trump supporters as a willing pawn to create mass confusion to disguise the fact that a raid was actually being conducted looking for laptops and hard drives within Congress? And that's where I'm going to have to leave it with you today. But as things change, I know that we don't have another podcast scheduled until Friday, but I am promising you that if breaking news happens tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, any day between now and January 20th, if a big story is suddenly breaking, we will be doing a podcast and we will be bringing you the information as soon as we are able to make it available to you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. 325 people in the chat room right now. Many of you are here for the first time. Welcome to the NTEB family. We're very, very happy to have you. Be encouraged. Not by what's happening in Washington, not by the confusion and the chaos, but be encouraged because we are so much closer to getting out of here on Flight 777. It is literally right around the corner. And I want you to be encouraged by that. And with whatever time that we have left, I want to make sure that all of us as the NTEB family, if you want a free Bible, email me info@nowtheendbegins.com. Look, if the rapture was Friday, I would still be going to the post office today to mail out the Bibles. We are called to a battle, a spiritual battle. And we are called to fight on the front lines of the end times and not quit. Not quit for anything, even if the rapture was Friday, and I'm not saying it is, but hypothetically speaking, even if the rapture was Friday, I would be calling for all of us to go full steam into the rapture that we may be found faithful when he comes to call us home. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Please keep my brothers in your prayers, please. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m., for another edition of the Rightly Dividing Bible Study. But if something breaks big in the meantime, we're going to have special podcasts to cover all that. Have a great week, everybody.
Die on a cross for crimes he had done. The thief was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." Said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to stay." By the way of
hopelessly lost, I could not find my way, until this glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sin away.
And what he did for me that day was a price I know he paid. By his grace, I too can say.